Good afternoon, and welcome to Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now open your Bibles, open your minds, and join in the conversation with your host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good afternoon. Welcome to another edition of Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be here until 2 o'clock, be with you here, and hope you'll be able to stick with us here this afternoon. And, well, it's springtime here in northeastern Ohio. Weather's just ducky outside, but I hope you are okay going through the storms last night. Some areas up here, as I came up to the studio, you get up here closer to the lakeshore, Cleveland area, they were kind of untouched. Everything kind of went around them, but down where I'm at, closer to Akron, we had some huge storms rolling through, and of course, further west out toward the western part, going out west of Lodi and west of Medina out into that area. It's had some tornadoes and some things there, and so do be in prayer for the people out there. I guess there's at least trailer park, mobile home park, that was hit and just devastated. And a number of people confirmed killed, and they don't know how that number is going to work out in the long run. They're still cleaning and searching and recovering, and certainly do pray. And of course, it came through at night, and so it makes it hard when you can't see what's happening. So now during the day, people have been able to get out there. Pictures are coming out. And so certainly pray for the people who are affected out there. And of course, Nehemiah's ministry out there, Columbia Road Baptist Church in North Olmsted, they will be gearing up, I think, to help some of the people out with some of the relief efforts there. And so you can contact contact Columbia Road Baptist Church there in North Olmsted about the Nehemiah's Network Disaster Relief Ministry if you want to help out with that a little bit. More of that, we'll find out more later on. And maybe on Sunday night, I might get a chance to talk with them a little bit about that. But in the meanwhile, we've got a number of other things going on. We've got an election coming up, a primary election coming up on Tuesday. This coming Tuesday, polls open at 6:30 in the morning. They run until 7:30 in the evening, and I encourage you to get out and vote. Voter turnout has been low, and so who wins in the primary races is going to be based on who turns out. And I work the polls all the time, and I always get people every November when we have the general election saying, how come these are the people we have to vote on? I don't like these people. Who picks these people? Why do we have these people? And I say, and sometimes I know, I say, well, did you vote in the primary? No. Well, it's in the primary where we pick the people who will be on the ballot in November. So I'm going to talk about that briefly and a little bit there. And just to let you know, of course, too, that coming up a week from today, following the election, Pastor Lutz and I, of course, he was on in the last half hour. Pastor Lutz, pastor of the North Coast Baptist Church in Lakewood. He was on at 1 o'clock for the Cause of Christ is his program. And we are going to be combining our programs, Lord willing, next week at 1 o'clock. We'll go 1 o'clock till 2 o'clock. I'll be on with him at 1, and he'll be on with me at 1:30. We're going to talk about the election and some of the things that are happening there. So we'll be talking about that next week. So pray for us that we'll be able to be a blessing, encouragement to people as we go forward trying to make a difference in a world that just seems to become more and more chaotic, more and more godless every day. All right, well, let's open with a word of prayer, and then we're going to touch on a couple of things. And I want to get back to talking about the New Jerusalem, where if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, it's going to be your home in eternity in the future. And we're going to see what the Bible has to say about that. So let's go ahead and pray, and we'll jump into some things here. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you again for the opportunity to be on the air. Bless the program today. Use it for your glory. Help us to be a blessing. Help us to be an encouragement to somebody today, and help us to point people that are searching to Christ. Lord, as we see the things that are happening in the world around us, Lord, help us take heart looking into your word, looking at what you have in store for us, knowing that eye hath not seen, ear nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which you prepared for those that love you. And so, Father, we just look forward to the day that we're going to stand in your presence, and we're going to be able to enter into the things that you have prepared for us. But of course, the key is we must know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. So, Father, again, bless, use the program for your glory. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Again, I'm Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Richfield Bible Baptist Church, and you can find us online. Go to livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And if you go there, you can find out more about me, more about the program. You can listen to past programs there. You can read a variety of articles that I have posted there, and some other comments about things that I have there. There's also a link to our homepage, or I'm sorry, to our page for the Richfield Bible Baptist Church, and you can go there. Wanted to mention this Sunday, if you're looking for a time to visit the church, I encourage you to visit us this Sunday. We have our annual Pi Day Fellowship coming up this Sunday. You say, Pi Day? What are you talking about? Well, yesterday, if you look at the date, March 14th, 3.14, that's the value of pi carried to two decimal places. It's kind of ironic if you think about it. I've seen this several times, 3.14, and if you look at the mirror image of that, the 4 becomes P, of course the 1 remains and becomes an I, and the 3 becomes an E, so 3.14 actually equals pi when you look at it in the mirror. But we got started on this some years ago. Somebody brought some pies to our Friday night fellowship, which happened to be on March 14th that year, and said, oh, what's the occasion with the pie? I said, it's Pi Day. And we started that some years ago, and we moved to having a fellowship after our Sunday morning service. And so that will be this coming Sunday. Our morning service starts at 11, and then about 12:30, we're going to get the tables moved around, and we're going to have some fellowship, and we have Sloppy Joes and pies and salad, different things like that, and pies. If I didn't mention it before, we have pies, and it's just, it's a lot of fun, and it's a good opportunity to invite people, visitors, to come and visit the church, have a chance to get around, sit around, talk, and enjoy some Christian fellowship together. So if you've been looking for a time to visit us, let me encourage you to come out and check us out. Visit us this Sunday in our regular services and our Pi Day Fellowship following the morning service. All right. Well, with that, I also wanted to mention again, as I mentioned, we have the election coming up this Tuesday. Early voting starts on Sunday, and I was talking with somebody actually just earlier today before coming up to the radio station, and I said, you know, kind of going back and forth on some of the candidates. I'm glad I did not vote early. I know there's a big push, vote early, bank your vote. But there's some of the things that have been going on in some of the contests and things like that. I said, if I had voted early, I'd be kicking myself every day saying, why wait till I heard that? Why didn't I wait? You know, I wish I'd have waited. And if you've not voted yet, and early voting is down in the state of Ohio, and not sure 100% what that means, but it is down. And we'll see what happens this weekend. There could be a surge of people voting this weekend. That kind of happened back in November. But early voting is down, and there doesn't seem to be as much of an interest in the election. But this is a big one. People say, well, what's so big about it? Donald Trump's got the endorsement, he's got everything. He's got the delegates and everything. He's got a lock on the nomination. Well, that may be true, but we're in a battle over who's going to be our next state senator. And, of course, every one of the U.S. House districts is up for election, and all of the Ohio House districts, and some of the Ohio state Senate districts, people are up for election, as well as around the state. There's others, township trustees, county commissioners, village and city council members, and possibly even mayors. I'm not sure what all's where you're at, but there's a lot of things out there. And let me explain it this way, and I don't want to take up all my time because I want to get on to talking about the New Jerusalem where we're going to spend eternity. But when you go in to vote on Tuesday, people fail to understand what a primary is sometimes. In Ohio, we have an open primary state. I'm hoping and praying that eventually it'll get to be a closed primary where you have to declare your political party before going in. There's reasons for that. Maybe Pastor Lutz and I will talk about that next week. But we're an open primary state, which means when you go in, you can request a Democrat ballot, a Republican ballot, or an issues-only ballot. Sometimes they have Green Party ballots, Libertarian Party ballots, Communist Party USA ballots. Whichever party ballot you request registers you as a member of that party. So if you're a Democrat and you say, well, I'm going to pull a Republican ballot because I want to affect the Senate race, well, just let you know, you will then be listed as a member of the Republican Party. Likewise, if you're a Republican and you do vice versa, pull a Democrat ballot, they'll list you as a Democrat. That's just the way it works in Ohio. But what you're doing in the primary, for instance, in the U.S. Senate race, we have three candidates. We have Frank LaRose, we have Bernie Moreno, and we have Dolan. And they're all three running in the primary. And so they're on the Republican ballot. So if you pull the Republican ballot, you are essentially saying, if you vote for one of those candidates, you are saying, this is the candidate that I want the Republicans to run in November. And likewise, the Democrats are doing the same thing, but they only have one guy on their ballot, so it's kind of a given right there. But if they had challengers, you know, if they had, you know, two, three or more candidates, it would be the same thing. They'd be saying, this is what we want the Democrat Party to run in November. So that's what you're doing. Then in November, you can say, whoa, here's the guy I voted for. I know how he got there. Or you can say, man, this is not the guy I voted for in the primary, but I did my best. But now since he's here, I'll have to decide how I want to vote now. But so that's just to give you an understanding of what's going on with the primaries. You're telling the Republican or the Democrat or whatever party who you want them to run on the general ballot in November. So pray about that. Pray what God would have you to do. Pray for the election. Pray for safety. Pray that it is run fairly. I have been impressed with Frank LaRose running the elections. Has it been perfect? No, and I there's been some hiccups along the way and some things I disagreed with. But overall, I think he's done a very good job as Secretary of State, maintain the integrity of Ohio's elections. Saw something that suggested that I was just trying to think. I had a train of thought there going there. But anyway, suggesting that the Republicans stand a good chance, that's what I was thinking of beating the Democrat candidate in the November election for U.S. Senator if they go for Donald Trump in the general election. And I believe it was 4 years ago, Ohio went for Trump by like 10 points or something like that. And if they maintain that, whoever the Republican candidate is for U.S. Senator will probably beat the incumbent Democrat. And so, at any rate, pray for them and for the election and for those that are working. We sure appreciate your prayers. And anyway, let's get on to the New Jerusalem. And like I said, a lot of stuff going on. Just want to touch on some of those things before. And I'm going to turn over here to Revelation chapter 21, and we got a glimpse, they're getting a glimpse of the New Jerusalem. And as I said, this is the place prepared in heaven by Jesus that comes out of heaven. Revelation 21, verse 1, I saw a new heaven, a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And then when John is going to be shown the bride, the Lamb's wife, which is the believers of this age, of this dispensation of grace, we are going to be caught up to be with the Lord in heaven during the tribulation period. After we're gone, the Antichrist will come on the scene and enter into the covenant with the Jewish people, and that will probably bring peace to the Middle East in a 7-year covenant there, and that'll set the time for the tribulation period. The end of the tribulation, Jesus returns to this earth, and we, as the armies of God, return with him as well. But we will make up the bride, the Lamb's wife. And it says in verse 10, he carried me away. This is Revelation 21, verse 10. He carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, and her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. And we talked about that jasper being a greenish stone. And then it begins to describe this. And again, another thing to understand here, this is going to be our home for eternity. I know everybody says, you go to church, you want to spend eternity in heaven? Oh, we're going to spend eternity in heaven. The Bible says that we are going to spend eternity in a place that's prepared for us. That doesn't mean we're stuck there. You can't go anywhere else. You'll be able to visit heaven. You'll be able to visit the earth. But our home is in the New Jerusalem, which comes from heaven to the earth. And there's a description of it that begins in Revelation 22 that I think is very important as we read through this description to understand the magnitude of this city. And we talked about it, Jasper. They're having a greenish sort of thing. But then it says a wall great and high, starting in verse 12, Revelation 21, verse 12. And it had a wall great and high and had 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels. And the names written therein, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel on the east. And let me pause here for just a minute. I think the names of the 12 tribes of Israel, it's a reminder to us that we would not have the Bible. We would not have a Savior if it weren't for the Jewish people, if it wasn't for the nation of Israel. Because after all, the Jewish people, and again, you know, there's a strain of anti-Semitism out there and anti-Israel thought and all that's infecting our churches. And good people get caught up in this. Well, I support Israel because the Bible says I have to. But, you know, they're really a terrible, terrible place. It's a terrible place for Christians. It's a terrible state. And somehow they think it's more evil than the Palestinians and the Muslims and the failed states that are around them. No, I don't want to get off onto that too much, but this is a danger that's out there. And for us that make the bride of Christ, some of these people that may even be born again that get caught up in this anti-Semitic, anti-Israel heresy, they're going to be in this New Jerusalem, and every time they go in and out of the gates, there's the names of one of the tribes of Israel, the people that they allow the devil to convince them that they shouldn't like. I just remember in Genesis 12, God will bless those that bless Israel and curse those that curse Israel, but there's a whole other area there too. But notice this again, 12 gates on the walls, and 12 tribes of Israel, their names are inscribed on those gates. It says in verse 13, on the east 3 gates, and on the north 3 gates, and on the south 3 gates, and on the west 3 gates. So 3 on each of the 4 sides. And we have this description here, and the angels that are guarding over top of them. It's impressive. And he says that the city also has 12 foundations in verse 14. The wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And so that goes back to the disciples. Remember, there's the 12 disciples. Judas was the turncoat, the one that sold himself to the devil and betrayed Christ, the traitor. And he was replaced. There's some discussion as to who the 12th name would be then. A lot of people suggest the Apostle Paul, and that's a very good possibility. But the names will be inscribed on those. And then in verse 16, and I'd like to just spend time reading all these, but I just got to spend some time summarizing some of this, because we're going to run out of time again today, and it'll be a couple of weeks where we can get back to this. But the shape of the city, it's described as four square in verse 16. Says that John says the length and the breadth and the height of it are equal. Each side is measured to be 12,000 furlongs, which equates to about 1,500 miles. For perspective, 1,500 miles is roughly the distance from the eastern edge of Ohio. So go out to Conneaut, for instance, and sit there. You're pretty near Pennsylvania there. And go from Conneaut, let's say, the Ohio-Pennsylvania line, or you can get on the turnpike and go out to the Ohio-Pennsylvania line and drive west from there. You would have to go all the way across Ohio, across Indiana, across Illinois, across Iowa, across Nebraska, across Colorado, drop down to Colorado, all the way over to the western edge of Colorado. That's a long distance. And that's the distance of about 1,500 miles. Well, the other thing is the shape is described as four square. Length and the height and the breadth are equal. And this leads to some speculation as to the shape of the city. Some people would argue that it's a cube. I, on the other hand, my personal belief is that it will be a pyramid shape. And I have some reasons for that. I'm not going to be dogmatic on it. But I believe it'll be a shape of a pyramid, because a pyramid, a square base, the length and the breadth are equal. And then the height from the base to the peak of the pyramid, equal to the length and the breadth, and the height is equal. 1,500 miles wide, 1,500 miles long, 1,500 miles from the base to the peak. Whether it's a cube or a pyramid, it's a huge, huge thing, the New Jerusalem. In fact, there, if you look at these, if it's a cube, okay, a cube means that the shape of a cube would contain some, if I don't have my math wrong here, 3,375,000,000 cubic miles of space. If it's a pyramid, well, it'll be a little bit smaller. It'll only be 1,125,000,000 cubic miles. Either way, this is huge. Let's put it in perspective. The volume of Pluto, whether Pluto's still a planet or planetoid, is immaterial. But if you look at Pluto and you calculate the number of cubic miles in Pluto, you come to about 1.5 billion cubic miles. Well, that's slightly larger than the 1.125 billion cubic miles that the cube or the pyramid would have. And either way, this is a huge structure. The base of the city, regardless of whether it's a cube or a pyramid, would cover 2,250,000 square miles. Isn't that incredible? Well, the Bible said that eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard, neither entered into the heart of man the things that God's prepared for us. And so when you look at this, this is mind-boggling. So what is going to happen with this New Jerusalem when it comes down from heaven to God on the earth? Well, that's a good question. The Bible gives us an answer, and I think it'll be surprising. So we're going to have to save that. But it's a huge place. comes down from God out of heaven, will you be there? If you know Jesus Christ is your Savior, you will have a home in that new Jerusalem. And it'll be plenty of space for every believer to have a home. I hope you know Christ is your Savior. We'll pray about your vote coming up Tuesday. Thanks for listening. Join us next time. God bless.
You've been listening to Live with Pastor Al. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can also listen to past programs at livewithpastoral.com. Read articles on a variety of topics by Pastor Al at livewithpastoral.com. Pastor Al Davis invites you to join him at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, Sunday morning at 11 or Sunday evening at 6. Or you can join us for our Friday night Bible study tonight from 7 to 9 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church meets at 4174 Wheatley Road, Suite 200 in Richfield every Sunday at 11 a.m. and 6 p.m. and then every Friday at 7. You can contact Pastor Al by writing Pastor Al Davis at Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Or you can email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us. Join us for more live conversation this Sunday night
from 10 to midnight.
And again, next Friday afternoon from 1:30 to 2 right here on AM 1220, The Word. Late Night Live with Pastor Al is brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.